May we listen to with our heart to the scripture this morning coming from Joshua, the first chapter, verses 5 through 9. It says, "No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day together, for an opportunity to be in this place, to be reminded of your great love and our call to be strong and courageous in the ways in which we live our life in love and compassion, to seek ways to bring about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And so God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So we have just a couple more weeks of this series looking at the vision statement of the United Methodist Church to love boldly, to serve joyfully, to lead courageously. We've been going through each of these different components of the vision statement over the last few weeks. We talked about loving boldly, to passionately love God like Jesus, to embrace and include people of all ages, nations, races, genders, and walks of life. We talked about the greatest commandment, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. As you walk through the doors of our sanctuary, above the doors, it says, love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's who we are as Northwest Hills United Methodist Church, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, last week we talked about serving joyfully with a Christ-like heart, journeying alongside the most vulnerable, offering care and compassion with joy and not grumbling. The last part of the vision statement calls us to lead courageously. To lead courageously is about following Jesus' example by resisting and dismantling systems of evil, injustice, and oppression, striving for peace, justice, and reconciliation. Invites us to embody God's dream for the world as both individuals and as the church, striving together. Leading courageously is not about a singular lone event or action, but it's about listening to the joys and the hurts and the wisdom and the insights of the gathered body of Christ. It's about praying honestly about the concerns of the world, paying attention to what God is calling us to do in response, and then acting with God's abundant life to courageously meet those needs. It's about practicing humility and generosity as we lead well. Joshua, in the scripture this morning, stands on the brink of an envisioned promised land, but his mentor Moses has recently passed away, and now Joshua is left. He's been called to lead the people. And I'm sure he thought, what in the world is God calling me to do? I thought Moses would be with me. I thought Moses would be here, and now what? He stands there alone, wondering, needing something. And as he's there, we see God meet him there. God reminds him that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. God would be with Joshua. And from the realization that the leader is not alone comes the ability to move forward, to make decisions, to do what needs to be done, to act in courage. And Joshua would move forward knowing that God was with him and God gave him and told him what to do. Three times in this short passage, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. I am with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. And be strong and courageous. Presence, God's presence was the beginning of the courage. And courage was the ability to act even in the face of the unknown. Joshua and us in the scripture and through the scriptures reminded that the work that lies ahead to lead courageously is not simply our work, but it's God's work. It's the church's work. And God chooses to use us as instruments in the building of the kingdom, in creating the kingdom of faith and fellowship with God. And when we lead courageously, we acknowledge God's presence in our work. And we do all that we can to point beyond ourselves to God who sustains us in this work. You see, our job in leading courageously is that we find new ways to share God's love with people of God. We find new arenas. We find new avenues for people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and God's grace. God sends us to be difference makers, to transform the world by loving boldly and serving joyfully and leading courageously. It's who we are as United Methodists. Actually, John Wesley, from the beginning of the Methodist movement, set out to challenge systems of oppression. He sought to have a faith that lifts those who are marginalized. We've always been a church who sought to bring transformation to the world, being active in public spaces, rooted in the Wesleyan tradition of social holiness, lived out locally in justice-seeking action. Did you know that Mother's Day originated from some Methodist women who desired to honor all of the women who worked for peace and justice? It was an anti-war movement that focused on hydrating babies, ensuring sanitation, and building hospitals. The origin of Mother's Day was at the Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, because Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother, Anne, a member of that church. And did you know that the originator of Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis, was never married or had children? She wanted to honor her mother. She was a courageous leader who was deeply committed to social justice. I have a short video here that will tell more of that story. Take a look.
When Anne Jarvis was working to establish Mother's Day as a national event, and when her daughter picked up the mantle from her, they were not thinking about greeting cards and flowers.
Instead, the Methodist women who invented the idea in America wanted to honor mothers in a deeper way.
They were thinking about the work of women and the significant testimony that women could give about the need for peace.
Anne Reeves Jarvis organized women's clubs in the 1860s to serve suffering mothers and children.
Women came together with their sisters in their locations to respond to the needs that they could see. For Anne, she was in a coal mining part of what is now West Virginia, and she could see the needs of women and children, and she could see the effects of the economy of her day on the people that she cared for.
She started mother's clubs, and she taught them about hydration for fevered babies, about sanitation and nutrition. Then the Civil War came along, and they put a field hospital right outside Grafton.
Anne recruited nurses for military hospitals, and after the war, formed friendship clubs to promote reconciliation.
Anne Jarvis was convinced that mothers, women, but especially mothers, had to work for peace because they could see the ravages of war in their husbands and in their sons in a way that was so focused and so clear that their voices would be powerful. And that's what's at the genesis of the current Mother's Day.
Faith was always foremost. When she was older, Anne Jarvis and her daughter Anna became members of Philadelphia's St. George's Methodist Episcopal Church.
The daughter Anna became a Sunday school teacher here at St. George's, but she's best known for the efforts she made to get Mother's Day recognized as a national observance. She and John Wanamaker, who was a famous retailer here, were the ones that got Woodrow Wilson to sign the petition.
Anne Jarvis died in 1905 before an official holiday was in place. But her daughter Anna, who was never a mother herself, stayed true to the purpose of the celebration. She envisioned Mother's Day as a time to write a personal letter to your mother, a time to send her an inexpensive carnation, a flower in which the petals hold tight like a mother's love, and a time to visit or attend church together. She later became an outspoken critic when the special day turned too commercial.
She was really aggravated at people that turned that observation into a commercial outlet. So she had a lot to say to Hallmark. She had a lot to say to the Salvation Army that started selling carnations. When she made carnations the symbol of Mother's Day, they sold for pennies, but their price soon went up to $1.50, $2 a piece because people found they could make money off of it. And her comments about Hallmark are just wonderful. She said, "How lazy can you be to buy somebody else's sentiment to hand to your mother? Like one day out of the year, sit down and tell your mother what you really think of her." And she was just furious. And I love that kind of spunk. She would have been a really interesting person to know. And I like telling the kids about her because the history of the church isn't a history of ministers. It's the people that make up the church. And I think they're such a wonderful example of that. And besides, you know, making kids think about their mothers is always a good thing to do.
Thought that was an interesting video and enlightening on Mother's Day, that the originator of Mother's Day never had children and was married, but we all have moms, and we give thanks for that. Other courageous leaders that we think of in our history is Martin Luther King Jr., who remains a symbol of brave leadership. Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, Rosa Parks, courageous leaders. Today we think of firefighters and soldiers and law enforcement who exemplify courage through a willingness to face fear and danger to help others. But what about us everyday people? Can we be courageous leaders? Courageous leadership isn't just about grand gestures or heroic acts. Courage and courageous leadership is not always loud or visible, but it's about faithful people in everyday service. It's often found in everyday actions when people demonstrate resilience in the face of failure, showing that setbacks are opportunities for learning and growth. It's about fostering an environment where people feel safe and to voice their opinions or admit mistakes and learn from them. Courageous leadership is about embracing vulnerability and authenticity, leaders that create a culture of trust and resilience. Leading courageously means doing what is right, even when it's hard. It means being brave even when we feel scared. It means helping others when they need a leader. It means standing up for someone who is being hurt. In our courageous leadership, it means that we trust God as Joshua did, and as God continued to tell Joshua that he would be with him, would not fail him, to be strong and courageous. Friends, we can lead courageously with our hands, with our voices, and with our hearts when we work with God to be disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference in the world. Friends, I believe that the vision statement of the United Methodist Church, to love boldly, to serve joyfully, to lead courageously, is not so much a new vision statement, but it is a reminder of who we've always been as United Methodists. We've always been a church who seeks to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. It's one of the reasons why I love to be part of the church, especially the United Methodist Church. Friends, may the light of Christ shine through us so that the world might know of a God who loves them deeply, who calls us to be leaders in our community, who asks us to oppose things that aren't of God, so that every person might know that they are His. And so, our call, our reminder once again, today and each day, is that we might love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for all those who have shaped our lives. We thank you for your presence that has been with us, that calls us, that empowers us to lead in ways that are beyond ourselves, but that leans upon your presence in our life. Lord, may we be courageous in our actions, that every person might know of your great love that you have for them and for us. We give you thanks for all those who have shaped our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.